Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shane Conlon inducted today into the College Football Hall of Fame. Two-time All-American, it's about time. I know Lou Prado worked very hard on this. Jeff Nelson worked very hard on this as well. Now, the 2014 class has in it, besides Shane Conlon, it'll have in it North Carolina corner Dre Bly, Southern California tackle Tony Boselli, Purdue defensive tackle Dave Butts, Georgia Tech quarterback Joe Hamilton, who's coached by Bill O'Brien, Maine linebacker John Heward, Darren Nelson, the fine running back out of Stanford, South Carolina wide receiver Sterling Sharp, Willie Rofe out of Louisiana Tech, the big offensive tackle, UCLA quarterback John Shiro, who played in the defensive backfield with the Eagles, who's a fine quarterback, led UCLA over Ohio State in the Rose Bowl, New Year's Day 76, I want to say, John Shiro did that. McNeese State corner Leonard Smith, Ole Miss tight end Wesley Walls. The coaches inducted were Appalachian State coach Jerry Moore, Oregon's Mike Bellotti, and also inducted LaDainian Tomlinson and Derek Thomas. And so it's a loaded class. Derek Thomas, LaDainian Tomlinson, and Shane Conlon would be the three leaders in that class. But Shane Conlon finally gets in. And it wasn't a question of Shane Conlon getting passed over. I think it was just a realization on the part of some people here that, hey, wait a minute. Shane Conlon should be in. Because when you talk about the great lineage of Penn State linebackers, Jack Ham is usually the first name that is mentioned. Usually the second name that's mentioned is Shane Conlon in the great lineage of Penn State linebackers. So, two-time All-American, brilliant in his career, especially in 85 and 86. And Shane Conlon in the Fiesta Bowl game that featured, 15 to 20 pros. Shane Conlon was the best player on the field in the Fiesta Bowl. Two interceptions, one stopped a drive. The other one set up the game-winning touchdown by DJ Dozier. But there, on that particular night, Shane Conlon, and he played hurt too, was the best player on the field. And he gets his just due in getting into College Football's Hall of Fame. Last time I saw Shane, Shane was at spring practice, doing well. He, like Jack, he lives in Sewickley, but Shane tells me he lives in the poor area. 800-795-9565. We can talk about that. We can also, and by the way, if you want to pass along anything that you know of, dealing with the storms, down trees, power outage, damage in your neighborhood, roads that may be closed, road that may be open. Just pass it along to us. We'd appreciate that at 800-795-9565. When you do that, it helps out everybody. Okay, slow down.
No. I was just going to say we actually have a good thing here today. Pack 3342. Is taking a trip through the studios here, and wanted to say hi to the voice of the Penn State Nittany Lions. Say hi to Steve Jones, guys. Say hi, Steve.
Hi.
Well, hi there.
Wow, they sound excited to hang out with you, brother.
So we have pack 3-3-4-4-2, right?
3-3-4-2, yeah.
3-3-4-2. I want some names. How about some names? Who do we have there?
Riley.
Riley?
Austin.
Who? Austin,
see, Riley and Austin, yep. Who else?
Who else?
Mason.
I hear Mason.
Mason,
there.
Good
yep.
to hear from you. Yep.
And Carter.
And Carter.
Hi.
Well done. Hi, guys. Great to have you in the station today. It's a safe haven, too.
You too.
All right. All right. It's great to have you on board. You'll get to go over to the other studio where Mark Lawrence, who is the star of the station, performs every day.
Wow. Listen to the excitement there as the room goes silent. Yeah.
And that flatlined. All right. So, but you guys, hey, great day. You know, I was a Boy Scout myself, as a matter of fact.
As a result.
And I was a Boy Scout myself. I got to Life Scout. I did not make Eagles, so I missed by one, but I got the Life Scout. Boy Scouts is invaluable. It teaches you a lot, and you're very lucky to be a part of it.
Now are you guys in the tiger den or?
I am.
You are. Okay. So there's one that's in, you're working on your tiger badge right now.
Yes.
Okay.
Good. I'm in bear.
Very nice.
Yeah, they got a bear in there. Yep. Yep.
Bear, tiger, okay. Very nice.
All right. Thanks for stopping by.
Well, you got all had a chance, and you all had a chance to meet Kevin Hur. What a thrill for all of you. All right.
They were excited to death about that.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it's great to have them going through. I found it to be invaluable. I'll tell you the one part that I did not enjoy is that we had to do campery, jamboree, whatever. You know, and we would camp out. My patrol won a regional championship. I mean, we did a bunch of things, including making a picnic table out of dead logs in the woods, and so we won. And then we ended up going to the state competition in Connecticut. We ended up finishing fifth. But I'll tell you what I never enjoyed was that they had you do winter campouts, like survival.
Oh, they are not fun. Yeah, I did one of those.
And it's we put a piece of plastic down over the snow. I'm like, oh, for goodness sake.
Yeah, I did not. I did. And then they have a Klondike Derby race where you basically race a sled filled with all sorts of equipment that you'll need to perform different tasks. And you never quite know what those tasks are going to be. Yeah, a first aid, I was good. Fire building, okay. I was not so good at lashing and knots. Not my strength. But now my greatest camp story is our troop had the inspection award wrapped up. I mean, we were perfect through the entire week. Not a single thing. We went through meticulously to make sure there was absolutely nothing laying anywhere. And we found a pull tab one day coming back from dinner. We're like, all right, who had the soda can? So we're going through the entire camp trying to figure out who had the soda can. Here, the older scouts who were actually running things and were running the camp that weekend actually planted it because they didn't want to give us a perfect score for the week. I'm like, really? You had to plant it? So we got they gave us a 99.9.
So even then,
I was just short of perfection.
Even then.
Still the Camp Levine record, though, for, and that was 25 years ago, still at least. That's the Camp Levine record for score for the cleanliness camp.
Might not make the Ireland broadcast. All right.
Probably won't, but you know what? I got very few records in my life. Enjoy the ones you have.
Have you told your son about this?
Yes. Who, by the way, is also a Life Scout, I might add.
Oh, good.
Working on his Eagle project now.
And what is that Eagle project?
He's going to be doing a prayer garden.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Well done.
It's really hard to do, though, in the winter. Did you ever notice that? That usually doesn't turn out as well.
I think it's a great, great idea that he has. Well done. And
hey, you know what tomorrow is, Steve?
Friday and two more hours of you.
No. Well, that's the bonus of it. Do you know what happened? You know what starts tomorrow at 11 a.m.?
Is it Carburation Day?
It's Carb Day.
Yeah.
It's Carb Day.
And you know what? You know what you get out of that?
A lot of guys on the track at once, trying to figure out race trim for the last time, and the Indy Lights race, as well as the pit competition.
And once again, it yields nothing. All right, let's get to the race.
Somebody's going to win some money, though, in that pit competition.
Well, will it be either one of us?
Negative.
And thus my interest in it. All right, we'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, Shane Conlon makes the Hall of Fame. Shane Conlon was not highly recruited. He's out of Frewsburg, New York, which is just a couple of miles to the east of Jamestown, New York, which was where Lucille Ball was born, Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner. Frewsburg's a tiny, tiny community. Tom Bradley recruited him, and Tom Bradley saw something in him, and he went back and he talked to Joe Paterno, and he said, look, I'm telling you, I've seen this guy. Joe went up and saw Shane Conlon play basketball, and he saw the footwork and the athleticism. Nobody else recruited Shane Conlon. Nobody. But Penn State saw something in him. He redshirted the 82 season, then he started playing in 83. You could see he was a player in 84. You could definitely see he was a player, and then he really emerged in 85. Then he comes up in 86. And he was the two-time All-American. And again, his ability, he could play the run, that's obvious. But his ability to play the pass, he was brilliant. Alabama, when Penn State played Alabama in 1986 in Tuscaloosa, which may have been the finest all-around football game I've ever seen Penn State play. Penn State won the game 24-3, I believe, in Tuscaloosa. Alabama, this was late October. I think it was October 25th of 86. And Alabama was ranked second undefeated. Penn State was ranked fifth undefeated. And Alabama's quarterback was Mike Shula. And Bobby Humphrey was the tailback. And they had an outstanding receiver by the name of Albert Bell that they loved to put in the slot. Now, they wanted to go head up on him and throw him off his game. Who did they put head up on him? Duffy Cobbs, Roy Isom, a DB? No. Shane Conlon. And he took Albert Bell and at the line of scrimmage jammed him where he had no shot of getting out. He was zero factor in the game. And Conlon was brilliant. That's the way he played his entire career. They're playing against Cincinnati in 86. Cincinnati's played a great game. Everyone remembers the big pass play to Blair Thomas to kind of jumpstart them in the Cincinnati game. And then David Clark made a big run and so forth. And finally, after struggling all day, they go in front. What people forget is the play that put the game away. It was after that, Shane Conlon blocked a punt. Safety. 2 points plus the ball. He had that ability to make those kind of plays consistently in his career. When we talk about recruiting, I know we talk about the star system all the time, and I completely understand why we talk about the star system. Completely get it. Because people want to know where individuals rank, where classes rank. We rank everything now. Okay? We rank everything now. You know, best sausage in Philadelphia. Okay, great. Best cheesesteak in Philadelphia. Who's the best? You know,
who's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now, we all have our personal tastes and preferences. You may talk about Geno's, you may talk about Pat's, but, you know, I love to go to Joe's on Torsdale's. Okay? We all have our own preferences. Well, Shane Conlon was just one of those guys that a recruiting service was not going to jump on. Nobody else was really recruiting him. And again, the guy that really found him was Tom Bradley. And then Joe, of course, got involved. And Joe always wanted to see these guys play basketball. I mean, when he saw Kurt Warner, it wasn't Kurt Warner in person running the football. It was Kurt Warner playing basketball at Wyoming high school down in West Virginia. Because Joe wanted to see the footwork, the quickness, the athleticism, the ability to play someplace else, and he saw that in Shane Conlon. So they offered him. And Penn State really, I think he only had two offers. The other one was totally insignificant. So he took the Penn State offer out of Frewsburg. And they came in right away. And then he started playing. And now here he is, finally getting his just due. As a two-time All-American, now College Football Hall of Famer. And when you sit there and you talk about the great lineage of Penn State linebackers, Jack Hamm, Dennis Oncotts, Kurt Allerman, LeVar Arrington, you know, at one point Brandon Short, and then they moved Short to defensive end, but Paul Posluszny and Dan Connor and Sean Lee, and you know, the list goes on and on. Of the great linebackers who have played at Penn State. There's usually a one and then the two. The first linebacker they talk about is always Jack Hamm. The second one they always talk about is Shane Conlon. And there's a reason for that, because we know how great Jack was as a player, both in the NFL and in the pros. He's one of the few guys to be in the College and Pro Football Hall of Fame. But then you look at Shane Conlon. And Shane Conlon put together a brilliant college career. And not only that, he was an every down linebacker. This guy could play the run, and he understood the proper depth of a drop in the pass game. He understood how to go head up on a receiver and jam them in such a way where he took them out of the play. And he was also quick enough to cover them. And Shane Conlon kind of got lost a little bit in the shuffle as the College Football Hall of Fame deal was going on. And Lou Prado, in combination with Jeff Nelson, made sure the National Football Foundation was well aware of the great accomplishments of Shane Conlon. And as I mentioned in the Fiesta Bowl game in 87, on a night where Penn State had many outstanding performances, Shane Conlon may have been the best player on the field that night. And he played hurt, too. He played hurt that night. But truly one of the great players in the history of Penn State football, and he will go into the College Football Hall of Fame. Derek Thomas of Alabama, LaDainian Tomlinson of TCU. They'll headline it. Tony Boselli of USC. And Shane deserves to stand side by side with them. I think, as I mentioned earlier, the last time I saw him was at spring practice. Oh, I want to say about 5 weeks ago. Doing well. Things going well. Living in Sewickley now. He tells me the poor end. I look at him and go, really? But he's about as down-to-earth, genuine, no ego as you'll ever be around. Very unassuming in a lot of ways. Very unassuming. All right. A lot of storms in our area today. Golf ball to baseball size hail. We certainly have had a lot of damage in the area. And when you look at the damage, some of it is the hail breaking windows, damaging siding on houses, damaging obviously vehicles, putting dents in the vehicles. We've had some down trees, some debris thrown around the area as well. may be affecting your commute home. We have had no reports, zero reports of injuries so far. And thankfully, and hopefully it'll stay that way. Sarah will have all the details at the bottom of the hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. We'll keep you up to date on any of the damage across the area. With the line of storms that roll through, we had a tornado warning in effect, but that does not necessarily mean that one touched down. We haven't had a report of a visual of it, but we do know that the storms rolled through had high winds, heavy rain, and golf ball to baseball size hail. Conlin elected to the College Football Hall of Fame, joining the likes. They're 14 in the class. LaDainian Tomlinson of TCU, Derek Thomas, Alabama, Tony Baselli of USC, among others. Derek Thomas was unbelievable. I talked about in the previous half hour what I thought watching Shane Conlin. Again, not highly sought after, not highly recruited. Like I said, the star system, which is at least gives everyone an idea of where they are in the high school landscape, you know, plus or minus, whatever. And a lot of fans like to rank things. But like anything else, it's not perfect. Sometimes you can find a guy in Frewsburg, New York, who's way under the radar, and somebody takes a shot at him, and he turns out to be a real player. And then Shane Conlin was one of those guys. Tom Bradley found him, scouted him, talked to him. Joe went up and watched him play basketball. Said, I think this guy's an athlete, can possibly help us. Love the size, quickness, footwork. He's one of those guys that on the recruiting list would be way under the radar. And it turned out that he was able to transition with complete ease from high school to college and excel. And in the pros, where he played with the Bills and the Rams in his career. I think he had a NFL career. Derek Thomas was about as quick a defensive end slash outside linebacker I've ever seen. Penn State played a game in 1988 at Legion Field in Birmingham. Tony Sacco was the quarterback. Alabama won the game 8-3. Alabama had Penn State bottled up in the south end zone. It seemed all day, but it probably was just a quarter. And Eric Johnson was Penn State's left tackle. Eric went on to play at Bloomsburg, transferred from Penn State, went on to play at Bloomsburg, and then I believe play for the San Diego Chargers. Eric Johnson was just a redshirt freshman. And before he could come out of his stance, Derek Thomas was past him. Over and over and over and over again. Walked out of there and went, oh my goodness, the team that gets this is getting a player. And of course, eventually it was Kansas City and had that big 7-sack game against Jim Zorn in Seattle. Derek Thomas, of course, passed away at the age of 33. But I remember watching him that day. I thought, oh my goodness. Because we all thought Cornelius Bennett before that was really, really good. And I said, I remember I was working that game in 88. I'm trying to think. It would have been Lanny Fitteri and John Grant. And I looked at them and I said, this guy. No, you know what? It was John Sanders. It was John Sanders and John Grant. And I said, I don't know what you guys said. That's the best guy off the edge I've ever seen. They go, oh, yeah, that's the best guy off the edge we've ever seen, too. unbelievable. It was like you shot like a rocket on every play. I felt bad for Eric Johnson. Eric Johnson was not a bad football player. As I said, he eventually transferred to Bloomsburg, and then he hooked on with the Chargers. So guess what? They both ended up playing in the three-letter league. But Derek Thomas gave Eric Johnson and Tony Sacca a day to forget on that October day in 1988 at Legion Field in Birmingham. All right, any updates that we should know of?
Nothing new. Nothing more than what we have said before. As you mentioned earlier, there has not been any confirmation of tornado-like damage, just a lot of hail damage coming from Bloomsburg, also from Danville right now.
Okay. That's where they were hit very, very hard. Tell you, Mount Carmel looks like it got hit pretty hard.
Yeah, that was happening right as we were coming on the air, too, with that same cell.
Yeah. Looks like Elysburg got some. Redding got hit pretty good. Hazleton, parts of Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, Wellsboro down through that corridor toward Williamsport. About a 40-mile corridor. Looks like they got hit. The Bradford-Susquehanna County line up around Towanda, Larraysville, Warren Center. Then down through Tunkhannock, Scranton, through that area there. It's a line of them.
Good news is it looks like now, after that, everything's clear at this point.
Well, like I said, here in State College, it's been sunny the entire time.
Yeah, this has been like a north to south, a southeast flow from the north. We'll put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, it came down from the northwest, formed around the New York border, and worked its way down. Here in State College, it had been a drop. It's been sunny the entire time. No issue at all.
Now, they still do have a thunderstorm watch in effect until 8 o'clock tonight, but that may not last much longer.
Right. I mean, it's 81 degrees here and sunny. But, you know, it's obvious at this point that really, and it's not really, you know, we talk about a line of storms. A line of storms is like literally a line with a wall of water on it. There was a line of them, sort of, but there were also open areas where nothing happened.
Yeah, it was a bunch of individual cells in a line. It was, you know, there were breaks in between that you could go from basically Scranton to Hazleton and not get a drop of rainfall. But then you go from Hazleton to Bloomsburg and the rain would be all over the place.
Right. I mean, you look at, for example, in Zion Grove, Shenandoah, toward Tamaqua. Now they're getting hit with, I think, the last big cell of this. It looks like Pottsville's in the clear now. Schuylkill Haven's okay. Sealands Grove had a little rain that rolled through. Sunbury's in the clear now. Lewisburg's in the clear. Bloomsburg and Danville, Watsontown all appear to be in the clear now. Muncie's in the clear. Shamokin's in the clear. Port Treverton, Pine Grove, they're all fine. It's the Zion Grove, Shenandoah area that's getting hit pretty hard. Looks like Hazleton and Freeland and Dorrance, they're okay now, along with Glen Lyon. Berwick's all right.
And there's really nothing behind it. I mean,
no.
Once that went through, it was funny, you and I were talking during the break. I said that same cell that went through Bloomsburg, Danville, Catawissa, Mount Carmel, that's actually making its way almost into Chester now.
Well, all right. So we've been able to get in on all that. If you know anything about a road closing, give us a call, 800-795-9565. We've tried to make this an Indy-free zone, except for that slip about carburation damage.
I've been doing my part to try and publicize it. Some word from the Rangers. Prince Fielder seriously considering surgery to repair that herniated disc in his neck. That, according to the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, it would be season-ending surgery.
Yes, well, there's a guy who gone with 570 games in a row playing. He hadn't missed a game. And then this has derailed the streak. Interesting, because a lot of people... Ed said, gee, well, look at this trade that they made. Prince Fielder for Ian Kinsler. Kinsler has been fabulous for the Tigers. And they took Miguel Cabrera and stuck him at first base. And it's amazing the fit. And that's what you need to find. You know, it's interesting we talk about this, but chemistry and fit, along with talent, means something. And we were just talking about Shane Conlon, for example, you know, how you really only had one other offer and it really wasn't the kind of offer, like, you know, it wasn't like Alabama was, it was much, much further down the food chain. And Penn State was really the only big time offer that he had. And he gets to the College Hall of Fame. Fit means something. And that's something in recruiting that's part of the delicate balance. In recruiting, do they fit your program? Does their personality fit your locker room? Does their skills fit what you need? Do they fit your university? You're saying, well, what does that mean? Well, for example, here at Penn State, you know, you have a head football coach in James Franklin that would like to see players graduate in 3.5 years. That means a serious academic commitment. So does the player fit? Does the family have that commitment to that kind of academic regimen? You know, we've talked about this in basketball. Fit's important. A lot of people have talked about Patrick Chambers trying to get a pipeline into Philadelphia. And yes, Penn State's getting more Philadelphia players than ever, but you just can't get any player. Hey, we're going to go down to Philadelphia. We're going to bring in 5 guys. It'll be great. They have to fit the personality of the program, to fit the personality of the university, fit the personality of the positional fit, and have to fit the personality of the locker room. Fit does mean something, and it's a very inexact science. But there are certain things that you're looking for, and the fit part as to how someone fits into the grand scheme, how someone fits into the locker room, can you detect some leadership ability? Can you detect something in the family that indicates that this is going to be a strong character for your team? And the fit part is rarely, if ever, talked about. There are players, you know, and your current players are really, really important in this process. Really important. I'm not going to get into names, but there are a couple of names that ended up, by the way, in the NFL. I remember during the Michael Robinson era, where the players weren't comfortable with a couple of guys that were recruited. They ended up in the NFL, by the way. The players went to Joe and said, look, he's not our kind of guy. Right? You know what Joe did? Stop recruiting him. And that goes back to personality fit. Sometimes you can be a mega talent, and you can also be a mega pain in the backside. And you end up, despite great talent, with diminishing returns. Now, there are also some people that take a Peyton Manning, for example. Great talent, that is exactly the fit you want. Well, you get one of those, you have gold. You have gold. I mean, the fit part is something that is not talked about. Look, chemistry is something you can't teach. I tell my class all the time here at Penn State, there are two things I cannot teach you. I cannot teach you how to get a job, and I cannot teach you chemistry. Getting a job is the most important part of getting a job is convincing a person that you're the right person. Fit. Chemistry is just something that is instinctive. Can't teach instincts. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Well, another interesting break for us. I had to listen to someone's scheme about insurance fraud during the course of the...
No.
Okay.
Had nothing to do with that. What are you talking about?
Yes.
Starting nasty rumors now.
Let me give you three critical words that will get you through this crisis. I want you to remember these three words.
All right.
Deny, deny, deny.
We were just talking during the break of all the damage that the people are reporting. I have some friends that have photos of dents and cracked windshields and
and
shingles.
You're telling me about damage you hoped you had.
I said, unfortunately, the porch roof that I have scheduled to be fixed very soon is still okay.
Kids out there in the car
right
now trying to rent.
I understand. I understand that's probably a wrong thought, and I really appreciate you sharing that.
Anytime, pal. Anytime.
Friends like that, what do I need enemies for?
You have friends?
I thought I did. Not anymore, thanks to you.
Well, I mean, you know, you're on the phone with your kid. Look, just ram that pole one more time.
No.
Oh. Look, they'd meet the kid the first time, they'd believe it. It really is an advantage you have, you don't realize you have.
Not sure that's an advantage. Hey, the ACC and the SEC are reportedly making a pact for the next 6 to 7 years. That about 4 or 5 teams in the league are going to have a home-home matchup. Don't expect it. It won't change Florida, Florida State, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Clemson, South Carolina, or Louisville and Kentucky. And you could probably eliminate LSU, Alabama, North Carolina, Virginia Tech because, you know, they play a lot of neutral site games. So what does that leave you with? Okay, so on the SEC side, it leaves you with Auburn, Texas A&M, Mississippi, Mississippi State, Arkansas, Missouri, Tennessee, and Vandy. On the ACC side, Miami, North Carolina State, Virginia, Wake Forest, Duke, Pittsburgh, Boston College, and Syracuse. Other than a Miami matchup with another Florida team, not sure if there's anything there.
Can't wait for that Pitt-Vanderbilt game.
Exactly. I'm sorry, but I'm not really... This, you know... Boston College, Tennessee, doesn't look sexy to me.
No, it doesn't. I think you'll see certain things, for example, that are going to happen. I would not doubt that in a non-conference game, Boston College plays Syracuse. In a non-conference game, Boston College plays Pitt. You know, in years they're not scheduled to play one another. You know, that's part of what they're talking about in scheduling. And the Big Ten, by the way, is very much on board with that, too. I mean, for example, Penn State would have 9 conference games. There may be a 2-year span where, for example, they play Nebraska home and away in that second spot, and there would be a non-conference game.
You know, I wouldn't mind seeing, like, a Miami and a Florida. I mean, that would be an SEC-ACC matchup that I think would draw interest. You know, play them in Orlando.
Well, Florida's already playing Florida State.
No, I know, so but now, I'm thinking when you look at matchups that, would make sense,
right.
That would be sure. one to make sense and have them play it in Orlando.
Right. Or you could play Florida A&M and just hand them a check and say, tell them thanks for being there.
Thanks for stopping by.
Hey, love you. Love you guys. Here's $500,000. Love you.
But I think you're looking at two conferences that are now looking to fill extra games with competing with conferences that are going to play more games in their conference.
But there's a mandate that was handed down by both the SEC and the ACC. And the mandate was if we keep it at 8 conference games, of the 4 non-conference games, one of them must be against one of the other BCS conferences. For the lack of, I use the BCS as the Power 5, okay? Well, you already have, for example, Clemson playing South Carolina, Louisville plays Kentucky, Georgia plays Georgia Tech, and Florida plays Florida State. So there's 4 of them right there, right, that already have something set up. Notre Dame is scheduled to play 5 ACC teams a year. Okay, so now we're up to 9. So what happens with the other? Because you got to remember, Notre Dame is scheduled to play under the convoluted, loose, we're sort of part of the conference and we're Notre Dame and you're not.
Just so that we can steal your bowl bid.
I mean, I'm telling you right now, between the Big East and the ACC, my lack of respect for them as a conference exponentially goes down when I see, like, so we'll let you into everything and we'll let you do all the. And you're going to have it exactly the way you want it.
And by the way, if you're not good enough, you can leapfrog ahead of one of our teams to take a better bowl, too.
I don't get it.
No.
I don't get it. Hey, it's not 1944. Frank Leahy's no longer around. Okay?